Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Korekara Podcast. On this week's episode, we have Chris on the show, who is a well-known age adder. I'm sure you guys may know from Matt's channel. And quick reminder, we are now doing a video version of the podcast on YouTube, so be sure to go and check that out. So this time around, we talked to Chris about his AJAT journey, including how he started, his motivations for learning Japanese, how he found out about Matt versus Japan, and some of his recommendations for Japanese content. If you guys want to support the podcast, you can check us out on Patreon or subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. So hope you guys enjoy the show. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Korekara Podcast. My name is Raza, and I'm joined by my co-host, Eric. We talk to people of all types of backgrounds about their lives in Japan, studying Japanese, or even tips and tricks on how to learn the language. This week, we're joined by a very special guest in Chris.
Yes, so Chris is an AJATter. He's been learning Japanese for over 3 years by now. He was interviewed on the Matt vs. Japan channel, and he's currently just finished his sophomore year in college. And I think he first made a video on his channel where he started speaking Japanese for the first time a year and a half later, just from immersion. And so today we want to get a closer look behind how he learns Japanese and what he's up to today. So, Chris, can you give us a quick background of who you are and where you're at today?
All right, so my name is Chris. I mean, it's actually Christian. I just go by Chris online because it's easier. And, you know, I'm from New York City. I'm 19 years old. I've been learning Japanese for a little over three, probably closing in on 3.5 years now. I made progress videos, and I occasionally live stream. I did it a little more often before, but then college happened, and then I was like, well, I don't really feel like streaming that much because I'm tired. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much I've kind of really done online. I mean, you know, when people ask for advice, you know, I give them the best advice I can. And yeah, I mean, I thought it was really interesting.
Like, I saw the video where you spoke Japanese after 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I think you said, like, you barely spoke Japanese.
Yeah.
Before that point. Yeah. But then you were still able to be, like, relatively fluent. Like, how confident were you with your Japanese at that time?
At the time, I was more confident than usual because, like, over winter break, I had just, like, finished in, like, an 80-hour visual novel. It's 80-hour visual novel, but there was, like, a decent amount of the game where it was gameplay, but it was still, nonetheless, like, reading a ton and listening a ton. So I was really immersed in Japanese at that time. So when I was speaking for that, because I also did like a few practice runs just to make sure I could get my like speaking sort of together. I was pretty confident. Like I was pretty confident in expressing myself for a decent amount of time. Because I mean, even the first one when I was terrible, you know, I could go on and on and on. Because I mean, if you've seen any of the other like interviews I've been in, it's like I can really go talking nonstop. So, because it's just, I don't know. Like, when I'm in front of the camera, it's just like, I'm just going on and right. on. And so.
Wait, so, do you feel less confident now that you've gone better? Or
no,
you feel
no.
more confident?
Currently, I would feel less confident just because I haven't been doing as much listening lately. So, I feel like my confidence depends on, like, how actively I'm, like, sort of practicing my speaking and whether or not I've been doing anything related to listening. So whether it's, because even if I'm reading a visual, I'm at least, you know, getting Japanese through my ears. But if it's just reading books, then it's like, I'm confident in my comprehension, but speaking, ooh. So that's,
I've never read a visual novel. Is that, how does that compare to like just watching anime with subtitles? Is it like the same?
Because the benefit you get from visual novels is like, it's like reading a manga. No. It's like reading a light novel with pictures with voice acting. That's what it's like. But it's a really long light novel, you know? Like, because, you know, it's not like, you know, because one light novel, depending on the difficulty, I could finish in like 1 or 2 days. But visual novel, you know, that's like, but usually the ones I play are usually upwards of like 30 hours long. So, Yeah, but I think the benefit of visual novels is that you're not really that conscious of like how you know, because when like when you're reading a book, I don't know about you guys, but for me, I'm always paying attention to the page number, like I because probably because of school, because there's always oh, read up to this certain page, so I'm always conscious of how many pages I'm reading, and it makes me read less because I'm focusing less on like the book and more like yo, how many pages have I read today? But when I read a visual novel, I'm just like, dude, I just want to know what happens next. Like I just keep clicking, I just keep going, and so. Yeah, visual novel is kind of like reading like a light novel, but you have all the but except that you have the visuals with you and you have voice with you and you just have tons of text to go through. And I think because of that, visual novels are arguably one of the best ways to get really good at reading really, really quickly. Because it, like you don't really like because you're not like sitting down and reading because you're still essentially playing a game. So you're not really thinking of me as like, oh, I'm doing sitting down and doing a bunch of reading. It's like, damn, like I just want to sit down and you know find out what happens in this visual novel because this is really
Right.
good. And so, at least for me,
But is that how you got into Japanese or?
one of the reasons, yeah, my main reason at first was because there was this one series I was playing at the time, the Legend of Heroes series, and there's now 10 moving on to the 11th game, I believe. And so I finished like the first two games in the first and third arc. And so then I was just missing like the third game in the first arc and the two games in the second arc. And this was around the time where I started doing Aja, and I was just like, well, I could buy a PS Vita and play the Japanese version and hack it. And play the Japanese versions. And like, I ended up doing that like 6 months in. And it's kind of funny because the first. Because out of the three games I was going to play in Japanese, because those were like the first games I would ever play. And they're really dialogue heavy. Like, there's a lot of reading. But the thing is, the good part is that the PS Vita versions all had voice acting while the originals didn't. So I was going in, there's like, you know, I was already like 6 months into listening to Japanese. So I was like, okay, well, my listening is okay. I can somewhat understand, like, I can follow along with the plot. You know, I could try using a Japanese guide because I got all these dictionaries and stuff to help me with it. And yeah, I just went through it, and it was kind of funny because once I started playing the game, I couldn't put it down. So,
So you could understand enough at that point,
like, yeah,
6 months
like I
in
could,
to play the game.
yeah, like, especially because you know all the visuals help and. Like context
Right.
too, because you know I've kind of played the game surrounding the ones I was playing. Like I played the other arcs that were like sort of connected to what I was playing, and so I you know if I wasn't sure about some things, you know I had like some information from the other game that you know I already knew, and I was like, oh, so this is happening during this time in this other game, blah blah blah. So
I see.
yeah, that
And
yeah, go ahead.
yeah, like how many hours were you studying or immersing at maybe that point?
Anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, roughly. Cause especially when I was doing remembering the kanji in the first like 4 months.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, those days, those were hard days. I only got maybe about an hour and a half, 2 hours of immersion, cause. Oof, when you're doing like 30, 25 to 30 new cards of remembering the content, you have like, you know, 150 to 180 reviews, and that takes you 2.5 hours to go through.
So you were able to actually finish it
No, I
and go
finished,
through all of
yeah,
it.
well, because, you know, by the third month, I was already cutting down my new cards to like 10 because I couldn't take it anymore.
Right.
I was tired. And, so yeah, because I was basically doing remembering the kanji like every waking moment, like every moment of free time that I had, like from the moment I woke up, it's like I eat breakfast, do remembering the kanji until I go until I leave for school. Eventually, I started doing it on the train. Don't even like I would just Dude,
that's gonna be the hook of the podcast.
I started doing it on the train. Dude, I was different during that time, man. Like, I would take my phone and I like just sketch like what the kanji was because I couldn't write it out on paper. I was like, well, this is close enough, and I don't have time to be doing this, like, because you know I do. You know, once I get to school and I pull out my notebook and I start doing it, like. Like before class starts, then during lunch, and
so did you get like PTSD with Anki?
Yeah,
because I think you didn't really like Anki after that.
No, I didn't. Like, I think the most I used Anki after that was actually that winter break where I was reading that vision novel. I was reading it was called Baldur's Sky, and because one of my friends read it in English, and he was like, dude, this is the best thing ever. I was like, oh, let's give it a try. And I read it, and, you know, I was hooked. But, I was using it because, you know, I was running into words, and I was like, you know what? This would be a good time to use Anki to retain some of this stuff. But, other than, like, when I'm, like, really reading a visual novel, I usually don't use Anki that often, mostly because I really love the convenience of being able to read my light novels either on my phone or on my Kindle. Cause also when I got Kindle on my phone, I was like, yeah, I didn't think it was going to be that good. But you know, when I got a new phone that was nicer and had a better screen, I was like, oh, no wonder people use this. And so it was like, for me, it was just more of, I'm tired of doing Anki, and it's nice to be able to like read while like laying on my couch. It was much more enjoyable for me.
So you just look up the words that you don't know immediately?
Yeah, usually. Yeah, on Kindle, you can usually do that. I think for, like, some kanji, like the te form, like, it doesn't come up. That's the only pet peeve I have about it. That's the only thing that frustrates me. It's like, you know, when it's a te form, I'm like, why is the word not coming up?
You gotta write them an email. You gotta go fix that shit.
Bug report.
Te form not working.
Dude. Yeah.
On like, Amazon. Slacking.
Dude, I mean, I don't know. I mean, even with that, I still didn't stop buying Kindle books because, you know, I find something interesting or I find something on sale. Like, I found one, I haven't finished reading, I haven't gotten to, like, the meat of the light novel yet, but it was, Reincarnated as a Sword, and it was, like, I think it was, like, at the time, it was, like, 100 yen. I was, like, dude, what?
Excuse me? Like, sign me up.
I was, like, so I got the first two volumes, because the second volume was, like, 300 yen. I was, like, I'm, for, like, $4 or $5, I'm getting the first one, hell yeah. And so, you know, stuff like that happens. Or then I'll read, like, one book from one series, maybe, you know, pay, you know, full price or whatever. And I'm like, bro, this is too good. And then I keep hitting the buy button for the next volumes every time I finish. It's just like, dude.
That's, you know, how they get you.
No, because it's when you have that buy one click, that's it's like you finish the line. I was like, you want the next one? I'm like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man. The amount of money
I guess, like, do you, if, like, since you don't do Anki, do you look up a lot of the words that you've looked up before?
Yeah.
Do you find
that
happening?
Yeah. No, most definitely. I do that all the time. Especially when it's words that usually only come up in certain, like, works. Like they don't, like, I see it in, like, you know, maybe one visual or one light novel, but I don't see them that often in others. So, like, when it comes to visual novels, there's a very big spread in terms of difficulty with depending on the visual novel. So, like, the hardest ones and the easiest ones, like, it's night and day, the difficulty difference. So, like, something for, like, Dies Irae, that's, like, at the top tier of difficulty just because of, like, the obscure language, some of the segments where they have stuff written in just katakana, which is, like, the bane of everyone who speaks Japanese, including Japanese people, because if you've seen any, like, YouTube video of Japanese people reading, like, a vision or something, you run into, like, the comment section, that's where they get stuck every time. So it's not just the learners. And so...
Wait, but actually, like, one time I tested it with, like, a Japanese friend. I took, like, an English paragraph, and then I put it in a katakana converter, and then I sent it to them, and, like over a call, and they were actually able to like read it like fluently.
I think with English words it's easier. I think it's harder with Japanese words, honestly, because you know, kanji makes it easier to read. Instead, because like once you know the kanji, it's easier to read with kanji. Because like already reading just hiragana by itself is already really annoying. So when you do it in katakana, which is even more annoying, then that I feel like that's where it gets people stuck. Because with English words, it's like, you know, like Japanese people use that all the time, like a bunch of English loan words and stuff like that.
Right.
And but when it's using their own language with just katakana, there's no kanji in there. I think that's where it gets really confusing.
What, you mean like a whole Japanese paragraph in katakana?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Yeah, no, no, I've seen, no, I've seen, do that. No, dude, every time I see those, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not bothering. Like, I'm
skip the, this is where the author decided to screw everyone over. Like, all right, you know, it's on you guys now.
It's like, bro, like, I'm good.
I've seen, like, when they have a foreigner speak in a novel, they use, like, katakana to show that it's, like, heavily, yeah, they have a heavy accent. The konnichiwa, but it's, like, in katakana.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
And I guess, like, rewinding a little bit now, we kind of talked about some of your light novel experiences, but how did you actually get into AJAT itself?
Okay, so... Okay, we're in 2021, right? So this was 2018. I started AJAT in 2018, but me trying to learn Japanese started in 2017. Because, you know, I got that Genki textbook, and it put me to sleep, so I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I did waste money. Like, okay. Then I come to, you know, a Japanese-English language exchange server. It's like, okay, cool. Now I'm wasting my time. Instead of learning Japanese. Uh-huh. And so, because, you know, it's like after 5 months when you're still struggling with, like, you know, the same one volume of manga, then you know you're doing something wrong. So I was like, dude, what was that? But then I remembered because, you know, I encountered Matt in one of the voice calls at one time. This was when, like, Matt was, not the current Matt. It was back when he was still like, dude, why aren't people learning like this? Like this, why are they wasting their time? This doesn't make sense. If you do it like this, you'll be good. And you know, it was like, it was more where like people would get, it was back in those days of, Matt where he didn't understand how people worked as much. And, but it kind of stuck with me because I was like, you know what? This dude's really good at Japanese. Let me check his videos. Maybe he's got a point. And I started watching the videos. I was like, huh. You know what? This actually kind of makes sense. Because my Spanish got better when I took AP Spanish with, you know, with my teacher who was speaking Spanish all the time. My Spanish improves greatly during that time. Like, my parents were like, what the? Why is your Spanish so much better? And so, because we mostly speak English in the house, mostly because of me and my siblings, but yeah.
Right.
But I was like, okay, this kind of makes sense. So I was just like, well, I saw also Brit versus Japan's progress, because he was like the first person I saw besides Matt to actually like log. Well, he was the first one to log his progress that I saw. With the AJAT method, and I was like, I could tell that like the Japanese wasn't perfect because I knew what it sounded like with anime, but I was like, but he's getting somewhere. Like he can read, and that's what I care about more because I want to be able to read stuff. So I was just like, okay, well, let's give this a shot for like 1 month, and I'll make like a progress video after the first month because the worst thing that happens is when you say you're gonna do something and then you don't do it. So let me do it first. And then I'll talk about it. And so that's where that, you know, like 50 minute long video came from. I can't believe people actually watched that. Oh my God. But it was really cool though. Cause a lot of other people were starting to do it at around the same time. And so it was just like cool. Cause it's just like, okay, so this guy's doing it, this guy's doing it, that guy's doing it. Oh man. Well, I got competition. So. it wasn't like competing, but it was like, you know, I could talk to people about it. And it was pretty cool. So that's kind of how I got into AJAT at the beginning. That's also the reason why I started remembering the kanji and went so hard on it, because I was like, dude, kanji was driving me nuts. I was like, dude, how do you figure this out? Like, this, how do you remember this? And so that's why I started remembering the kanji, to help me be able to retain like what I see, because most of the time it's just like, even if I can remember like the meaning of a word, I can't remember the character, and it was driving me nuts. Like, I see it like 15 times, but I still don't remember it. So yeah, that's what pushed me towards like immersion learning. It kind of made sense to me with like how my Spanish improved, you know, even though it's my first language, but you know, living in the States and whatnot. So yeah,
I guess like when you were going hard at AJET, did you have Japanese friends, or was it mostly like other people learning Japanese?
No, I had no Japanese friends at all. I had two friends in my school who were Japanese. They were twins, but like, it's not like their Japanese was like particularly good. Like, you know, it was typical, like, you know, Japanese American, like, the English is great, the Japanese not so much. So I think it was virtually like non-existent at the time. Like, it was enough to where it was pretty negligible. I had one friend who was actually like, you know, he could read and stuff like that, but you know, it was just jokes and little jokes here and there and stuff like that, just because, you know, my level wasn't up to par yet. Right. I graduated before, I think even before the year and a half, because I started in my junior year. No, it was like maybe a year and a half when I graduated, but you know, but he was missing for like half of the like school year or whatever. Right. So yeah, that happened.
Well, I guess like, how about eventually? I mean, I guess like now, you're in college, but it's online. Were you able to make any Japanese friends in real life?
Oh no, because I'm also not like a people person. Like, I'm not one of those people who can like just go up and talk to people and stuff like that. But also, I don't really encounter Japanese people that often. You know, obviously the only place is, you know, in Japanese bookstores, you know. So yeah, Kinokuniya or Book Off, because I also passed by there. The only thing is though, recently I felt like the selection of manga there, it's not as good as before. I feel like it was, they had some better stuff. Like, they had more, a little more, like, they had some light novels here and there too, stuff like that. That, like, they don't really have those as much anymore. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, is it that people aren't selling stuff? Like, come on. Like, this, please. But it's still a good store to go to, because you can get, because the manga that you get it for much cheaper than you get at Kinokuniya, and that's nice. It's just like, I'm just there, and I'm just like, why isn't there more of the popular stuff here? Like, you'd think that more people would be buying them and eventually, like, selling them back. Like, I mean, it is what it is. I still go to Kinokuniya because, man, I love that place. Every time I go there, I'm just like, oh my god, what am I going to blow my money on today?
It would have been funny if, like, Matt went up and it was you, like, in the store.
Dude, I... I would have just been like, dude, what? Like, I would have been shocked. I was like, says, when were you coming to New York? Like, you're literally on the other side of the country. Like, why are you here? Oh man, that would have been interesting, especially because you know, he was going around with Shalma too, so that was interesting. It's still funny. It's just still funny to see though, how, like, the discrepancy in like the view count for the videos, because it's like Shalma's, you know, is really good with the YouTube algorithm. So it's like Matt's videos, it has great views for his channel, but then you have Shalma like breaking millions like just like that because it's Shalma. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, well, speaking of Matt, he's been like really pushing a pitch accent lately. What are your thoughts on pitch accent?
Okay, so, you know, I'm one of the people who actually bought the pitch accent book. Like, I have it sitting in,
What, the NHK dictionary?
Yeah, the NHK one. I bought it a long time. It was years ago. I have it, you know, for whenever I do want to pick it up. It's just right now I don't feel like it. I think, you know, I basically agree with, you know, him and Dogen on basically just about everything. Like, I don't, because it's like, the fact of the matter is that the pitch accent, like, if you think of it in the same way as the strikes accents in English, like, and you think about how weird stresses make for weird sounding sentences and phrases, as you know, improving your pitch accent make you sound infinitely more native than not studying it. And from the studying that I did do when I was reading that book, like, it made me a little more attentive to certain patterns, and just like the like, especially like the really basic easy patterns that are easy to notice. So like, for example, words that are so like they call them moras or beats, essentially. So it's like, or you can think of it as like one hiragana character would be like one beat. So anything that has four beats and it's two kanji would like almost pretty much always be heibon, for example. And so like when I hear a word that it falls into that category, I'm like, okay, like I would try to listen for the heibon pitch, for example. And so I try to be more attentive to stuff like that. Now I don't think I can hear that particularly well, and I was also never really good at listening to the drop in pitch. So like for the atamadaka and the oldaka, which falls off at the end, and I forgot the other one. It drops off. So it was just like the drops in pitch, I couldn't really hear it well. I was just like, if you stress it, then yeah, I could hear it, but it, like in regular speech, I couldn't. Heibon, I could somewhat time to time, but it wasn't anything too special. But I did enjoy kind of trying to read it, because it was like, because you know, the NHK, they're limited to the Jōyō kanji, so it's a lot easier to read than other stuff. So that was the nice part, is that I even at with my level at the time, I could understand, you know, enough of it. And there's a lot, like, pitch acting is really complicated. There's a lot of little things that, like, unless you're like really obsessed with this stuff, like, you're just not going to remember. But knowing the basics does significantly help your abilities, because you start paying more attention. Like, it, like, all you have to do is read on the basics, and then you just keep doing what you're doing every day. You're just paying attention a little more to the pitch. Like, it doesn't really cost you anything to do it. And finding the basics of pitch isn't really that hard, so...
Right. So you would say, like, maybe the basics are important, but the very complicated rules aren't that important?
Like, if you really, really, really want to go into pitch accent, then, you know, learning the more complicated stuff, I think, would be important. But if you're someone, for example, who, like, doesn't really care about pitch accent that much, but you don't mind learning a little bit of the basics just so that, you know, you can get some free, like, bonus, you know, Jozu points... Like, right. It's like, why not? I mean, it like 5, 10, 15 minutes of effort, and you sound a little bit better than everybody else. So it's like, why not? Because it really doesn't take a lot of time. It's just being aware of it. Because it's just being aware of certain patterns and then listening for them. Because that's really the only way to, like, train yourself to learn pitch. So,
yeah. I guess in the off chance you're trying to go for the Gaijin accent. that's your novelty, then yeah, probably don't, it's better to not focus on.
PSA.
I mean, it's also like, I mean, you know, like,
you don't want to sound too good.
Don't want to sound too good. I mean, like, for me, it's just like, I mean, I don't speak to Japanese people regularly or anything like that. I don't have Japanese friends or anything like that. And I'm also not going to Japan anytime soon. So I'm just like, I mean, well, I have other things that I feel like doing, and Japanese not at the top list right now, so it's like, why am I gonna bother with something I'm not really gonna use right now, like, and which I can still improve, you know, later. I still have time to, you know, work on it. Like, I understand that, you know, it's easier to do it like earlier on in life, you know, especially with stuff like pitch, but it's just like, dude, I right now I just can't bother. Like, I just don't feel like doing it. I have respect for everyone who, like, does, though, but
You said how, like, you kind of want to focus on other stuff. Do you think that would include, like, learning any other languages?
I don't think I want to go through the experience of sucking at a language again. If I were to learn another language, maybe under very, very, very circumstances, Korean. Chinese is pretty much out of the question. It's not that I wouldn't like to learn it, especially learn how to read, because, you know, I got these web novels that I want to, you know, catch up on these chapters. But web novels. No, I'm not doing the Chinese country. No, that's too much work. I don't want to do that. And then and there's traditional and simplified. It's like, depending on what I want to read, I gotta learn both. And it's like, no, I'm done. Japanese, I had enough trouble with Japanese with that. Like, I'm not doing that with Chinese, which is just pure country. It's like, no, I'm good. Now, maybe one day I'll, you know, go back on these words and start learning, you know, Chinese or something. But, you know, I for the moment, I have no plans to learn another language. Because, you know, it also takes effort just to maintain it. Like, you're maintaining your level of ability. You know, it tends to drop off if you don't use it for a good while. So... Yeah. You know, for me, it's just like, I'm not interested in, like, being, you know, like, a polyglot or anything like that, like, knowing a lot of languages. I just want to be good at the few that I care about being good at, so I can enjoy, you know, my hobbies. Because that's the only reason I learned Japanese in the first place, is, you know, it's for my hobbies. So, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think RTK, like, the Joyo Kanji is, like, 2000-something. But then, for Chinese, the daily use kanji is close to like 8,000 or 9,000.
Eight to nine. I thought it was like five to six. Wow. Yeah, that gives me even more reason to not learn Chinese.
We have a little inside joke here on the podcast where if you want to learn Japanese, it's a step one, learn Chinese. Step two, learn Japanese. Instant. You're just gonna be.
It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, you do get rid of the hard part first. I mean, it's not a lie.
True. Yeah.
But nah, I'm good, bro.
I guess, like, would you ever want to study abroad?
I think so. If I got the opportunity, and depending on what I would be doing there, like what class I would be taking while I'm there. I think I would like to. I just don't want to be doing anything that's really stressful while I'm abroad, because it's like, I'm already having trouble when I'm at home. So it's like, I don't want to, you know, be by myself in another country stressed. Like, that's the whole reason. Like, I wanted to avoid situations like that is the reason why I stayed in a university in my city and didn't go, out of like upstate New York or anything like that. Also because it was cheaper, but, yeah, so I would like to study abroad, but it would just depend on what class I'd be taking while I'm there. That's what would kind of facilitate, like, and how much it costs would facilitate, like, whether or not I would actually go. But I would like to go abroad, though. If I had the chance to go to Japan, you know, it was convenient for me, and, you know, I'd be able to do what I want to do and stuff like that. Oh, no, I would totally go. Hell yeah. What? I especially want to eat food over there, man. I'll put on a few pounds. Yeah. What?
You gotta do what you gotta do. I mean, if you did have that opportunity, is there anywhere specific in Japan that you'd be interested in visiting?
I don't have anywhere specifically.
Right.
I definitely want to see some of the, like, you know, like some landmarks and stuff like that. That, you know, sort of show off, like, traditional Japanese culture, like some, like, old buildings and whatnot. That have been maintained for many years and stuff like that. Definitely want to see stuff like that because I think it's so cool. But other than that, like, I don't have a particular place I want to go. I kind of just want to, like, wander around and just, like, kind of, like, see what's there. Like, because this is, you know, like, all, like, the major tourist spots, there's going to be a lot of people. I don't want to deal with a lot of people all the time. I want to go to, like, the quiet places, you know, see all that. So, Yeah.
You can study abroad in the Inaka.
True. I'll always be quiet for you. Don't even worry about it.
I don't want to be too far in the Inaka, though. Like, I still got to, you know, be relatively close to transportation into the city. You know what I mean? Like, got to be able to go there.
Got to bring back the studying on the train, right?
Dude, oh, my God. I was built different when I was doing Remembering the Kanji, because I cannot do that again. I was so obsessed with, Yo, I'm not even joking when I said, like, it's literally just to play. It was literally just to play video games and, like, read, like, light novels and stuff. Like, it's the only reason. I was just like, I am not gonna be on my deathbed waiting for the localization of a series that I wanna read or play. Like, I'm not gonna be, like, 70 years old. I was like, yeah, I gotta wait, like, you know, another 10 years for this to come out. Like, when it's already out in Japan. Like, no, that's not gonna be me. I was like, I'm, you know, take 2 to 3 years to save me a lot more.
Gotta be there as soon as it comes out.
Because it's like, some people were like waiting, like, you know, like for the series that I learned Japanese to play, like, in the first arc, the third game only came out in like 2015 in the West.
Right.
It came out like 2005 in Japan or something like that. Like, people literally waited like a decade for it to come out over here. I'm just like, are y'all crazy? Like, you had so much time to learn Japanese and you're telling me you still waited that long to, like, bruh, no. 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 I mean, obviously, people who came in later to this series, obviously, that doesn't apply to them. But the people who were, like, you know, into this stuff from, like, way back then, it's just like, dude, what are you doing? Tell me you had 10 years worth of time, you had no time to study Japanese? Like, come on, get out of here.
Come on.
Like, man. Like, you know, 10 years is fine, you know, when you're going from, you know, 10 to 20, but not when you're going from 70 to 80. So, I'm trying to think ahead, you know, because, you know, people will be dying, waiting for media to come out, stuff like that. It's like, man, like, look, it's going to happen to all of us, but I want to get everything I can, you know, before I go. So, right. Yeah, you know, I was just thinking ahead, you know.
The title for this video is now going to be Chris calling out all the gamers, learn Japanese right now. Before the localization.
Nah, dude, I got people. There's an announcement for the next game, Legend of Heroes Kuro no Kiseki. And everyone was going nuts over, because, you know, it's finally like a fresh arc in the series.
Right.
And people are just like, damn, we're going to have to wait like 3 years because, you know, the other game still hasn't come out. And I'm just like, oh, me? I'm just like, ooh, does that come out? I won't be in school, so maybe not, but.
You gotta go tell them to bring out their 3-year update video in 3 years.
Yeah, right. I was like, man, y'all can wait. I'm not. And definitely once winter not. Break comes around and I can, you know, buy the game and sink my teeth into it, it's over.
It's over. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Yeah, man.
We've been talking a lot about video games so far, and I mean, you've had a lot of time spent on kind of using, like, learning Japanese through them. So would you say you have any maybe content recommendations for the listeners here today for maybe any video games that'll help them improve their Japanese?
Okay, so I have to say this is kind of an obligation as a JRPG player.
Right.
Dragon Quest XI, it's good. Yeah, it's, you know, you have your hiragana and you know you have your furigana too. It's great for beginners and it's really fun. I've been playing it and I've probably sunk like 20 hours into it, like this past week or something like that. I haven't played it in 2 days, but you know, that one is one I would definitely recommend for beginners. The series I've been playing for a while now, the Legend of Heroes Trails series. So, like, Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky, Trails of Cold Steel, all that. If you can, the Cold Steel series on Steam does support Japanese, so you're good there. For the Sky series, you're gonna have to buy, like, the Japanese version or figure out how to mod the English version or get it on the Vita, because that one has all the voice acting and all that. So, yeah. That would be, and that, and well, I'll see other games like, you know, Persona 5, Ghost of Tsushima, because you can buy that on the US PSN store and just switch the language to Japanese, so you don't have to pay the Japan's ridiculous game prices. Dude, don't even get me started on those. East 8, Lacrimosa of Donna, obviously Kingdom Hearts. Cause I mean, you know,
Kingdom,
like,
Hearts.
I just thought about it, cause I have Kingdom Hearts 3 right over here. Kingdom Hearts 3 was a disappointment for me, but all the other ones are, you know, great. And actually one vision I have to two would be Zero Escape. with the duology that they have on Steam is Zeroscape 999 and Zeroscape Virtue's Last Reward. I haven't finished Virtue's Last Reward, but 999 was great. It's I think it's like 9 hours, 9 people, 9 doors, something like that. Sort of a thriller, vision all with like puzzles and stuff, and it really gets your blood flowing, because there's always a sense of danger. But I also think it has a really interesting story, and I guess the last another vision all would be AI, the Somnium Files. It's written by the same guy as Zeroscape. That is, I think, in terms of visuals, I think they would be easier for people to get in because, you know, they have like 3D models and their animation and stuff like that, and has really cool puzzles, and the story will throw you for a loop. Like, you'll be constantly on your toes. Like, you think you'll have everything figured out, and then you realize you don't. Oh my god, it's so good. So, yeah.
And I guess now, kind of closing out here, we always like to go and ask our guests if they have any advice to our listeners for learning Japanese. And of course, you've had the grind going for quite a while now. You've been through what everyone else has been going through so far. So is there anything you can tell them to maybe help out a little bit?
The first one I say, stop thinking too much. Because people come to me for advice and they're like, oh, do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? It's like, dude, like seriously, like, no joke. It's not that complicated. It's not. It's just, you just do a lot of reading and you do a lot of listening. That is all you have to do. And maybe do a little bit of grammar study somewhere. It's not really a great idea to stress so much about a lot of little things, because they're not really going to matter in the long run. Like, just focus on mostly like doing a lot of listening and reading, and whatever kanji study you need to do to get better at remembering kanji, do that. And then it's just like, figure out how to like manage your time, like to make time for Japanese in a day. Like, how much time are you willing to spend on Japanese every day? Because you have to, because look, I mean, you could have your break day if you want to, I'm whatever, but I wouldn't recommend it personally, just because when you do stuff like that, that's what tends to, you know, that's what gives you a route to break out of like your daily immersion, especially in the beginning. Like when you're still in the phase of forcing yourself to do stuff in Japanese, you don't want to really take breaks necessarily, because then you're going to be like, well, you know, that was a really nice day without having to deal with Japanese. And then you're going to do it again and again until then you stop learning it again. So I would say, like, just find some time to do it every day. Like, try to, like, have a goal of how many hours you want to do in a day and generally what you want to do. So, like, try to find things to watch ahead of time, try to find things to read ahead of time. And also, I also recommend to keep like your listening to reading ratio like a 2-to-1 ratio, like for like, so like every hour of reading, do maybe 30 minutes, every hour of listening, maybe do 30 minutes of reading or something like that. Because at the beginning, you don't want your reading to overtake your listening and then like sort of negatively affect your listening. You want to focus on listening first. Also, just stop focusing on difficulty level for things and just, like, you know, consume whatever media you like. Like, so many people have, like, they're so obsessed with, like, yo, is this for beginners? Is this for intermediate? It's like, it's because you're caring about all that stuff that is taking you so long to get good. Like, you know, Steins Gate was, you know, people generally consider it kind of complicated for beginning at first. Man, I was watching that like maybe like 5 months in, because I did not care. I was just like, man, yo, this is good. It's just like, yo, if you're being entertained, it doesn't matter the difficulty, because if it's a higher difficulty, cool, then you'll get better faster. It's just like, I mean, what are you learning the language for? Like, you need to like know what you're learning the language for, and then sort of look for what you want to immerse with and what kind of things you would enjoy, like, based on that. Like, for me, I was learning it, you know, for light novels, for visual novels, for manga, anime, games, all this kind of stuff. And so difficulty didn't really matter to me, as long as I could understand the whatever form of media it was enough to where I could enjoy it. Like, if I'm enjoying it, it's fine. So, yeah, Yeah, don't overcomplicate something that's not complicated, basically. Yeah, that's really like, and as for like maybe like remembering the kanji, because I know some people ask me about this time and time. Like, should I do the traditional or should I do like just like the visual one? It depends on how much work you want to put in. Because look, when you write all the kanji stuff like that, if you don't keep doing it, you're gonna forget it. But the benefit is that you get a little bit better at breaking down kanji. But you know, the most of the benefits are RTK for the purposes of, you know, immersive learning. Generally, they're you basically get most of the benefit within like the first few hundred kanji, because you know, after the first few hundred, everything else is just built off of the first few hundred. It's just different combinations. So once you know, like, so, you know, a couple of the typical radicals of some of the characters, and you know most of the first, you know, few hundred characters, and you just know how to, like, you know, break apart like any a kanji you see, like a new one. It's like, okay, so it's made up of this, 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 and this. And you know, you can kind of sort of more or less figure out, you know, how to write it too. Then you're pretty much good, you know, because that's the main purpose of it. The main purpose that we use, like, you know, remember the kanji for, is to improve our reading, not our writing. So you don't have to like treat it like you're doing it for the sake of writing. Unless you are, then that's a different story. But
okay, Chris. Yeah. So at the end of the podcast, what we usually do is we have a fun little message, a Korekara message to our listeners. And it could be anything, like a Japanese proverb, like a new word you learned, or just like any message you want to tell the listeners. So I'm going to put you on the spot right now. What is your message to the Korekara listeners?
Just do your thing, bruh. Like, I'm... like, what? Like... I don't know what else to say.
Just do your it's thing, like, bro. Let's go.
You do you. I don't know. Like, I was trying to think of something funny or cool, but it's just like, man, bro. Just
do your thing.
Have fun, enjoy life. And don't think too hard with Japanese, please. Like, it's not as hard as you think it is. First couple months feels like it's pain, but you know, once you start understanding somewhat. Is better. I mean, don't get me wrong, I kind of forget what the feeling feels like, and I'm glad I do, because it was painful. But you know, it's like, yeah, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Enough people have done it, you'll be good. So
great.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I really got to say. All right. I'm not that creative.
And on that note, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the Korekara podcast today. It's been a pleasure having you on. Really, it's been a really fun conversation. Where can everyone here listening find you?
All right. So I have my Twitter, which I'm assuming it'll be in the description.
We got you.
Well, actually, you guys have it. What am I? Yeah, and my YouTube. My YouTube basically is just like where I just stream time to time when I have free time.
Right.
Just stream some game. Sometimes in Japanese, sometimes it's not. But yeah, it's just to chill out and stuff like that. So yeah, that's I don't use any other socials.
All right, guys, make sure to show Chris some love here. It's been a fun one today, and we'll catch you on the next one. Peace,
guys. Peace.